A True Report, a depiction of events in history, hosted by Peter Shorenstein. Welcome to the Best of Wednesday. Every Wednesday, you can listen to a second playing of episodes that I especially enjoyed. They go back a few years, but hey, it's history, so they're not outdated. Of course, every Sunday, you can still listen to a new episode, but right now, here's a favorite from the past. Today, another amazing tale of historical events, all true, and for the most part, unknown. It's 1946. And America's armed forces had come home from the World War, home to start families, but there weren't enough houses. With the Depression having halted construction of new homes and the return of millions of veterans, we now had the worst housing shortage in history. It had been predicted that 3 million houses would be needed, but that never happened. Building codes and labor unions blocked progress, but Bill had a plan. In 1941, he completed a government contract to produce 2,300 housing units for defense workers in Virginia. He then entered the Navy as a lieutenant in a construction battalion. He was stationed in Hawaii. Bill was to spend the war thinking about the great need that was to come for low-cost housing. During the war, his father, Abraham, took over the company and laid plans to build a 6,000-home community on Long Island. So, in 1947, father and son, along with brother Alfred, took on constructing their new community on what was once 1,000 acres of potato fields. It was to be named Levittown. You see, Bill was Bill Levitt. Brother Alfred was to design the homes and was responsible for developing a method to mass produce them. Before the Levitts, homes were built one at a time by skilled carpenters, plumbers, and electricians. Alfred Levitt would borrow the automobile industry's production techniques. Now all they had to do was train someone to perform a few simple steps. One example is the guy who installed front doors. All he had to do was learn how to install a front door. And after completing the task, he moved on to the next home, until he ultimately put in 17,000 front doors. Okay, he had help, but you get the idea. The houses had no basements, and would be built on a slab of concrete. Nothing special today. Well, then, the outdated building codes required a foundation. There were court battles and legislative changes. But ultimately, Bill won. To save construction costs, they purchased forests and even a sawmill in Oregon. Even the nails were produced in a Levitt facility. The price for a home? $8,000, leaving the builders with a tidy profit of $1,000 per home. So March 1949 comes, and the first homes were put on the market. The first day, they were to sell 1,400 units. Buyers gave a $58 down payment and would get a free washing machine and television. And the buyers were all veterans. The Veterans Administration gave these new homeowners low-interest loans. Bill, his father, and brother were to build 15 other developments in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey. Sadly, the two brothers split apart in 1954. Brother Alfred would die in 1966 at the age of 54, leaving behind the popular communities he had designed. They featured curved streets with numerous public parks and good schools, even a community swimming pool. As the residents of Levittown were all veterans, similar in age, a sense of community was to quickly develop in these towns. For instance, the heating system consisted of an oil burner heating copper pipes. The pipes were embedded in the concrete slab. No radiator was used in this cost-saving method. Unfortunately, the copper in the pipes would react chemically with the concrete, and over time they started to leak. The fix would require installing radiators, a tedious job that meant digging into the concrete to lay the pipes. So, with the problem common to all the homeowners, they simply fixed it themselves. With such a large group of veterans, there would be many handy enough to complete the job. And while I might fix your house today, he would be available to fix mine in the future. Bill Levitt was to sell his company to ITT in 1967, becoming quite wealthy with the $62 million he got in ITT stock. But he would lose it all after two divorces and an ITT stock crash. And after some disappointing projects, he would end up millions in debt. It would be alleged that he took homeowners' deposits in Florida, and also alleged that he looted $17 million from his family charities to cover his personal expenses. He would die in 1994 on the verge of bankruptcy. At life's end, he only asked to be remembered as a man who gave great value for low-cost housing. He was a man who, with his brother and father, helped change the way we live from cities to suburbia, but without his family would run headlong toward personal ruin and a sad life lesson. Next week, another amazing story from the past. To be sure to get this and all future podcasts, please subscribe to A True Report. All you need to do is go to the iTunes store and search for A True Report. When it's displayed, just hit subscribe. There's no cost involved, but you'll hear some interesting stories. I'm Peter Shorenstein, and if you like, we'll do this again next week. Until then, never stop asking questions.